Recording has started.
Michelle, did you hear that? I can go ahead and do the intro, Michelle, if you want me to.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Sorry about that. One moment. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 4th of April. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants online today. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're on the audio bridge today, would you please let yourself be known now?
Mike Hammer.
Okay, thank you. And as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Chuck Gomes.
Thanks, Michelle, and thanks, Mike, for letting us know you're just on audio. Please feel free to speak up if you want to get in the queue. Let us know, and I'll get you in as soon as possible. Michaela, did you want to say something before I start?
Michaela, for the record, two things very quickly. I think this is the RDS-PDP working group call and not the subsequent procedures working group call. That's one thing.
That is correct.
So just in case half the group decided to, is scratching their head and trying to dial into another line or something. And secondly, hello, everybody. I will be dropping off before the end of the call, but I am here for part of it. Thanks.
Thanks, Michaela. Okay, this is Chuck Gomes. I want to welcome everyone to today's call. We have a pretty full agenda. Does anyone have a statement of interest update? Okay. We'll move on then to a special welcome to the new members that have joined us in the last few weeks. If you're in Adobe, which is, I believe, the case for most of you, could you put just a green check mark using Adobe? The Adobe chat, there's it's an agree button. If you're new in the last two or three weeks, would you put a green check mark in the Adobe so that we can especially welcome each of you? So at least there's a couple of you brand new. You're are new in the last few weeks. Welcome to both of you. We appreciate you joining us. We hope that it's not too hard to catch up to where we're at because we've been going for quite a while. But certainly ask us if we can be of any help. One of the things I want to point out to everybody is that for the polls that we do almost every week, the polls are for members only, not observers. Now, it's really easy to switch from observer to member if you want to. So all you need to do is send an email to the secretariat staff. That's gnso-secs@icann.org. Let them know you want to be switched to a member role instead of an observer role, and they'll help you out on that and give you some information. Of course, you'll have to submit a statement of interest, and the GNSO has a nice page on that. So just keep that in mind when the polls come out. The first thing we're going to do today is go over the poll results from the poll that ended Saturday night. So if we could bring those up, that would be appreciated. While they're doing that, let me say that because there were multiple choices and because people have a lot of varying views on the statements of purpose that we've been talking about. The results aren't as definitive as they have been in most of our polls so far. So we'll deal with that accordingly and talk about that as we get going. Now, everybody has scrolling capability. Sorry, Mike, that you can't see this, but hopefully you are looking at the results online and the results that were sent around or the link to the working group website. So the you may I'm just adjusting my view a little bit so that I can see everything there. That looks pretty good for me. Everybody should be able to do that on your own, depending on your monitor. So you can see there was good participation in this poll. So I want to thank everybody for that, all 38 of you that participated. That's the highest number we've had participate in quite a while. So thank you for that. Starting off with, and by the way, I should comment too that there was pretty good distribution of the, and this is not on the screen, but there was pretty good distribution of different groups participating in this poll. The only two groups that didn't have anybody participate were the GAC and the ISPs. Pretty good. All the other groups were represented quite well, in most cases by at least two people, and in some cases by more than that. So I'm glad to see the good distribution of participation. Now, question two, and I'm not going to read it to you. You can do that on your own. But the results for question two were mixed, but there were a couple trends there that I'd like to call your attention to, or a couple areas where the results were converged a little bit. Okay, probably not enough to declare rough consensus, but if you scroll down to table, just below the chart there, you can see the table below the chart has the results there, and there were a couple areas there that had fewer lack of support, opposition. So if you look at alternative B and alternative C, C had the least opposition, and B had a little bit more opposition. Both of them had pretty good. If you look up to a new thing we added because of the multiple choice answers above that table, you can see choice C, there were 28 people who either listed it as a preference or said they could support it. And for B, there were 24 of those. A few more opposition. If you take the difference of those two, you can see that C is the strongest there. And really, in my opinion, and I know some people specifically requested last week that we separate the two items, but in essence, B and C are really saying the same things. B just separates it into two purposes, okay? So in reviewing the comments, and we did review all of the comments, I don't know that it's necessary. You certainly can look through all the comments yourself. But rather than spend a lot more time wordsmithing this one, I'm going to make a suggestion and would like you to react to my suggestion. That can include disagreeing with it, suggesting something else. But rather than continue to wordsmith, which I think for the three items we're talking about today, we could probably go on several meetings just trying to wordsmith and maybe never get to the point where everybody is happy. So my suggestion is that we record alternative C as a tentative conclusion, but not declare rough consensus, because the results aren't strong enough, I don't think, not that there's any particular measure that we use, but just in making a judgment call on that. In the past, what we've declared at least rough consensus after the polls if the results demonstrated that. In this case, let's just note that we didn't think that it quite reached what we've been calling rough consensus, but there's pretty good agreement and minimal opposition for choice C. Now, does anybody object or want to comment on that suggestion on my part? Please raise your hand, or in Mike's case, speak up. Okay. So we won't spend a lot more time on that now, and let's go then to question number three, if you'll scroll down a little further. And if you scroll down to the results, feel free to read it if you need to. It's there. Again, there were multiple choices here. If you look at the table of results on this one, on question three, you can see more diversity in terms of the results. And quite a bit of opposition in every one of the alternatives, anywhere from 11 to 14 participants didn't support each one of these. So this is not a it's hard to make a conclusion on this. But in reading through all the comments, I want to call a couple that are really identical to your attention. If you go down to comments 5 and 6, you'll see that they're identical. And that's not too surprising, because they're people who work together. But I thought it was a suggestion worth talking about today in our meeting, because it's a pretty concise statement. And I'm going to suggest a possible edit, and the edit is adding the word possible, as you'll see. So if you take that, and you can look at either one there, a purpose of RDS is to facilitate possible dissemination of GTLD registration data in accordance with applicable policy. And the reason I suggested that edit is several of the comments expressed concerns about the word dissemination. And, of course, we realized there were concerns last week as well in our call, so that we have and I suggested that everybody not assume too much about what dissemination means. But another way of handling that would be to add the word possible in this statement. So it would read, a purpose of RDS is to facilitate possible dissemination of GTLD registration data in accordance with applicable policy. Now, we all know we're going to develop policy later, so that's in phase two. But I'd just like some comments, first of all, eventually I'll probably ask you to make a commitment one way or the other. But what do you think about that? Greg Aaron, I see possible adds nothing. Well, I'd disagree with you, Greg. I think it does. It takes some of the assumption away that some people are thinking, well, if you say dissemination, that means you're going to display it. If you can think of a better word, I of course welcome that. The possible dissemination implies that it may or may not be displayed or disseminated, you know, in whatever way we're talking about. That's why that was added. Jim, go ahead.
So, thanks, Chuck. Actually, I want to agree with Greg, but let me come at it in a somewhat different way. You know, I admit that I did not participate in this poll, so my opinion is not reflected in the results that are shown here. But, you know, it's not that I think that dissemination adds nothing. I mean, I sort of agree with that principle. But what concerns me about alternate C2 is that it conflates collection with publication. And I really just have a problem with that. So I really think that to the extent saying, you know, possible dissemination, I mean, that's just, I don't see how that's any different than alternate D. It's a fundamental change from alternate D, okay, because it does conflate collection with publication. And I think that we need to keep those two things separate. I mean, I guess that's my bias in this process here. So, you know, adding possible adds nothing to C2 because I think that C2 is fundamentally different than alternate D. And I don't agree with alternate C2. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Somebody else? So at this stage of the game, we're basically at a point where data may be displayed, maybe it won't. Data may be displayed publicly to everybody, or it could end up being displayed via gated access. Those are things we're going to get to later. So keep in mind that we'll have to tweak these things once we make more progress on gated access and public display and things like that. So part of our problem right now in refining the words is these things are interdependent. So we may have to come back and adjust them. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. I just wanted to call your attention to several people on chat supporting Greg's sentiment, which is really to say that either the RDS, the purpose of the RDS is to display some data, disseminate some data. It doesn't say which data elements would be disseminated. That would be defined during policy.
This is Chuck again, Lisa. So help me understand the point you're making.
The point is that the purpose of the RDS is not to possibly display something or possibly disseminate something. The RDS.
Oh, I see. I see what the concern
right.
is. Thanks. That's helpful. And I was looking at possible in quite a different sense. I was kind of leaving the door open for display or not, and I got you. Okay, so those that now I understand. I was reading something else into that, or I was thinking something else when I suggested the word. So would it be better to say a purpose of RDS is to facilitate dissemination of GTLD registration data in accordance with applicable policy as suggested here? Jim, go ahead.
So thanks, Chuck. Jim Galvin for the record. I mean, if I understand the comments that are going on in the chat, I mean, I would phrase it this way. An RDS, by definition, just by its mere existence, may or may not display data. So that, you know, that's not the point that we're trying to make. I think the point that we're trying to make is very clearly stated in alternate D, which is that it is the place where you will find the data. As a separate and active point of engagement, we need to discuss what data will be displayed and under what circumstances. So I really just think that, you know, we're not adding anything with this alternate C2. Talking about dissemination is a separate step. There's going to be policy that talks about that. And I think it's implied by the existence of the RDS that there will be some publication of that data. We just need to state that it is the source of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. This is Chuck. I'm going to come back to you right now. So here's your chance to participate in the survey. We won't change the results, but did you say alternate D as in dog?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. I wasn't sure it was B or D. You would support alternative D. There. Thank you. Okay, let's let Greg Shatton talk.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I'm sympathetic to those who support alternate D, but I think it's more based on the fact that we need to parse things out. You know, think of this in a sense like a workflow. First, data will be collected. Then the data will be stored, then the data will be disseminated, and the data will act. It will be an alternate, will be a source, even if it's not disseminated. So I think by talking about dissemination and being a source in the same purpose statement, we're kind of blending two purposes. And it's probably better to talk about them separately. But I don't think either purpose, I would support both purposes. And saying that that is going to be some policy decision, I'm a little confused on the difference between purpose and policy. I think these purposes are policy. And so there's not going to be some later policy somehow that is not in service of an earlier purpose, I presume. So I think we need both purpose statements, one about it acting as an authoritative source and one about dissemination or access as well, both being purposes. But I agree that they should not be lumped into one purpose statement. Thank you.
And Greg, this is Chuck. Sorry about the echoes. Greg, if you could mute just for a second, then I'm going to come right back to you, so you have to unmute. So what are the two different statements that you're referring to? And I'll mute.
Thanks. You know, one is the statement that a purpose of RDS is to provide an authoritative source of information about, et cetera. And the other is that a purpose of RDS is to facilitate dissemination of that same information. So there's, in a sense, two verbs, I guess, or two statements. One is acting as an authoritative source, and the other one is facilitating dissemination. So I would split those two so that they're not either both in the same statement or that we somehow assume one is subsumed into the other. I think we need to be as discrete, ETE discrete, as possible in mapping this out so that it really is kind of a point-by-point flow of purposes. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That answers my question. Let's go to Stephanie.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I actually agree with Greg there, although I raised my hand to discuss some of the chat that's going on there. I think this, and I apologize for going around and around in circles on the word disseminate, because I know I talked about it last week. The word disseminate, most people construe as push out, publish. I think a better way of expressing how we are going to provide access to the data is to say provide access. Because once you start using a word like disseminate instead of provide access, you can still provide access by publishing. Obviously, we're going to go for what is cheap wherever it's in combination with applicable law, and publishing is cheap. But as Greg said, the two thoughts are different. To be the authoritative source, to set up a system that creates an authoritative source for the data is one thing, and that's a job for the RDS, and then providing access is another job, and how we do that has to be set by policy, obviously. But I'm still constantly wanting a footnote on disseminate, because so many people, even though I'm sure the OED has multiple meanings for disseminate, there is a tendency in the vernacular to think it means publish. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now we're going to, this is Chuck again, we're going to hold that thought on provide access, as well as Greg's two different statements. We're going to come back to that, because those are constructive suggestions. What I'd like to do before we come back to those and maybe combine them is ask if there's anybody who opposed Alternative D to share why you opposed it. That would be helpful. And then we'll come back, and maybe you opposed it for the reasons that Stephanie and Greg are talking about right now, or that Jim and others have said with regard to this. So what's the why did you oppose it, if you oppose it? Or whether you responded to the poll or not, if you have some concerns about D, the way it's worded right now, I'd love to hear from you. Okay. Maybe your concerns have already been addressed, or maybe the alternatives are that have been suggested seem to solve the problems. Let's go to McKaylee, see what he has to say.
Well, since I thought I'd give your voice a break, Chuck. McKaylee, for the record, I have huge issues with the term disseminate. Disseminate is an active verb. If I'm disseminating something, I'm actively going out and spreading it around. I'm not sitting back and just letting people come and get it. I mean, does not disseminate anything? I'm thinking like viruses disseminate things, maybe, but I don't see how. No, I just don't see how that as a purpose could just work. So the RDS would have to allow access to something, give people the ability to access something, make access available, provide access. I really, really don't care what way that is kind of wordsmithed, but disseminate, please, no. Thanks.
Thanks, McKaylee. This is Chuck again. All right, so let's do this. It seems to me we have a suggestion on the table, and I'm going to combine Stephanie's suggestion with it. So Greg has proposed that we have two statements, one that says the purpose is to be an authoritative source of registration data. The second one is to provide access to registration data. Okay, I used Stephanie's suggestion there and totally got rid of the word disseminate. Lots of good comments on the word disseminate. And so How do those two options sound? Any concerns about those breaking this down into those two statements with roughly the wording that I shared that really came from Stephanie and Greg, I hope so. Anybody have objections to further pursuing those two purpose statements? Anybody on this call have opposition to either of those or both? Mark Anderson, your turn.
Hey, Chuck. Mark Anderson. This isn't it's not opposition, I guess, concern with the word authoritative. I would, if we're going to use the word authoritative, I would say we'd have to make sure that everybody agrees on the definition of authoritative. And so I'm be willing to bet that not everybody on this call thinks the same thing when we're saying authoritative. So that would sort of be my caveat with that statement. You know, we need to have a common understanding of what is meant by authoritative in that statement. Thank you.
So we could put – thanks, Mark. This is Chuck. We could put a footnote saying that we will eventually have to – agree on what authoritative means. We don't necessarily have to do that right now. It might be actually easier to do a little bit later in the process, because I think you're right. We'll have trouble. We could spend a lot of time and maybe still not agree right now, and it may even be hard later on. But okay, that's a good suggestion. Is there anybody on this call that objects to exploring? Okay, Tim O'Brien, I see a red X there. Do you object to the direction we're going right now? Oh, okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Sorry to put you on the spot, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. So the plan then would be to take those two separate statements and do a poll this week on those two to see whether people, and we'll do them separately. We'll do each one separately, I think, unless somebody thinks of a better way, and give you a chance to say, you know, I can support this or I can't, and here's why in my comments. Okay? So we will say that there are no objections to exploring these further, and we will do that in a poll this week. And I see Michaela is typing. So if you want to be faster, you could speak.
Sorry, what? Speak about what? Sorry, what? It's Michele. I was actually responding to something completely unrelated to what you're talking about. But in terms of the entire thing around authoritative data, Andrew and I did discuss this at some length. I mean, just there is a problem with the term authoritative in terms of how well people understand it. And I'm not sure how we can really address that unless we define it some way. Maybe that would help. Because I don't have a problem with not everybody understanding the term, but as long as we actually clearly define the term, then that actually solves part of the problem, I think.
So, Michele, this is Chuck. Do you think we should stop and define it now, try to define it now, or is it okay to defer that to later, as long as we note that it needs to be defined?
Lisa's saying in the chat that it was an action item to working group members to volunteer to define it. The problem I have with punting that in is it makes any conversation that uses the term authoritative very, very painful, because it's going to invariably end up with a dispute around what people understand authoritative to be. Now, I know Andrew's going to disagree with me on that, and that's okay. I just don't know how you can have a conversation using a term if nobody understands what the term means and everybody disagrees about it. But that's just me. Thanks.
Okay, Michele, thanks. I may come back to you. This is Chuck. Stephanie, your turn.
Yes, Chuck.
Thanks very much, Stephanie, for the record. I'd just like to recall my experience when I was on the EWG, coming in there innocent of technology. And I'm sure I slowed us down for quite some time trying to understand what folks meant authoritative. But it's really important to understand that if you're trying to work out how to actually build a system. And I think I share Michaeli's concern that, and I put my hand up here to represent those who are not actually in the business of running systems and therefore have a less informed view on this, or who are coming from a different area of expertise, because it doesn't mean the same in privacy talk. I think we're not going to be following and then are going to feel strange when we define it further down the road. And I do understand punting is logical, and we're going to spend one hell of a lot of time on it, but I do think it risks the buy-in later in the process. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. This is Chuck. Andrew, your turn.
Hi there. Thanks. So the reason I said in the chat I thought we could punt was that I believed in Copenhagen that we were in agreement that the problem we were stumbling over was the particular word and not the concept. That is, the concept that we all seemed to be in agreement about was that we wanted the real data from the source that actually was supposed to have it and not some other source. And the contrast was with the old WHOIS system, when WHOIS first got distributed and you had hard-coded in your WHOIS client a bunch of WHOIS places that you were supposed to query. And if you queried the first one, and that was the former registrar, then you got old data, and it was wrong. And this is, in fact, why we ended up with the thick WHOIS system and all kinds of stuff, because of a stupid brain death in the WHOIS system, you know, back in the late 90s and early 00s. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the data that is in the repository for real, not some stale data, not something that's in some cache that is already outdated, not something that we learned from somebody out on the street or something that's been passed around because it was printed out 3 years ago, but the real data in the, what I say is the authoritative source, but I don't care if we call it another word. And my impression in Copenhagen was that we were all in agreement that this was the concept that we wanted, and our problem was we were struggling with the word. So I don't care if we work on the definition now or don't. My impression was we were in agreement on what concept we were trying to work on, and we didn't actually need to struggle with the particular word that we were going to use. You know, we could call it Bob's Flying Monkey if we want, and that would be fine with me. It's just that we want to be referring to the same thing, and I think that was the point that we were trying to make.
Thanks, Andrew. This is Chuck again. David, your turn.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that the word authoritative is actually used quite a lot in some of the protocols and standards we use here. And so within the RFCs and things, it has a definition and is used in a lot of the documents we would be referring to. So either we use authoritative to mean pretty much exactly the same thing. It's used in those documents, which would be one way to sort of settle on a definition, or we avoid using it because it will correspond with something that is precisely defined in those documents. Just as an example, for example, RFC 7484 is titled Finding the Authoritative Registration Data Service, RDAP. So that's an example where the term authoritative is used quite specifically within a protocol that almost certainly will make up, we will use within the RDS.
Thanks, David.
So if we're going to use that word, we either use it exactly the right way or differently, or make it very clear that we're not using the term the same way. Thanks.
Thank you. This is Chuck again. So it seems clear to me that we need to define authoritative now, not later. And somebody mentioned getting a few volunteers to do that. So I'm going to ask for a few volunteers right now that would be willing to work together. I don't think we need to, you know, you need to have calls. You can do that if you want. But just if we can get 2, 3, 4 people who would be willing to work with one another this week, and by the end of the week, try and come back with a proposal for a definition. Or if you're willing to volunteer for that, put a green check mark in the Adobe, or again, if you're not in Adobe, speak up. So I've got Andrew and David. Looking, scrolling around on this, and Mike Pelage. Okay, anybody want to join them? Three's fine. I don't have any problem with the three of them working on this. So, guys, I'll let you take the lead, and if you could get something back to us on the list by the end of the week, that would be helpful. Thank you very much. And Mike, you had raised your hand. I assume you were volunteering, but if you want to speak, you can now.
Yeah, sure. And the reason I think nailing down this authoritative concept is really important is it's been an ongoing legal issue. And if you look, there's actually a reconsideration request that was just filed with ICANN dealing with the authoritative who is, and whether it's from the registrar, or whether it's from a third-party service provider that's involved in a litigation right now. And this is just something that I've been dealing with for over 18 years, and I really think we need to nail down this definition because it really potentially impedes our future success. That's my opinion for what it's worth.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. And I appreciate you volunteering along with David and Andrew. Now, let's come back to the possible poll for this week. There's a couple ways we can approach it. We can just wait until we agree on a definition and then poll the two suggestions for purposes that Greg suggested with Stephanie's modification. Or we could poll the two purposes without the word authoritative and maybe add that later. Is there an inclination one way or the other? Is it better to wait until we define authoritative or just leave authoritative out of the two statements of purpose? Any thoughts on that? Somebody else's opinion? The reason for going ahead and doing a poll would be to continue to try and make a little bit of progress every week, which we are, even though we haven't defined authoritative yet. We at least have recognized that we need to. I'm just pausing while I look to see what Lisa's going to type. Okay, so let's wait then. I asked for another opinion. I got it. Let's respect that. And we won't poll on those two things, but we will capture them so that we'll come back to them once we agree. And obviously, the whole working group will have a chance to deliberate on the definition of authoritative. Okay? All right. Enough on question three. Let's go to question four. And if you'll scroll down to the results there, for me, the table's probably the easiest way, although notice again, if I can get my screen to quit jumping around here so much. So for question four, again, the results are spread out a lot. This one has to do with accuracy again. And you can look at the comments. There were a lot of good comments. But it comes down to one option being whether we should even include this purpose, keeping in mind that accuracy is a topic we're going to have to cover when we get to question five of the in this first part of phase one that we're in. So maybe one option here is just to put this statement of purpose aside and maybe come back to it after we talk about accuracy. What are some of your thoughts on that? I mean, is the best option here, if you look at the results, you can see there's, you know, quite a bit of opposition for every one of the four options, ranging from 8 to 13 people objecting to the statements that are there. The comments also express concerns about the word accuracy in there. The strongest support was for alternatives A and C, but those still had quite a bit of opposition. So we can continue grappling with this, or we could just put it aside for now and not put it into our document as a possible purpose. Of course, we can always add it back in, but later. Thoughts on that? Any reaction to the suggestion? And by the way, some of the comments suggested just removing it. If you look, I'm just looking at comment five right now. Lisa, go ahead.
I'll just note that there were 22 people in support of either A or C, I believe it was, which really gives kind of a strong direction that variation of the requirement, or excuse me, variation of the statement of purpose, you know, with or without the footnote, was favored by what? That's about 2/3 of the people that participated. 5 people suggested deleting it entirely. If deleting it entirely had been an option, maybe we would have gotten a different breakdown. But it does seem like we're getting more support towards the including this statement with or without the footnote.
So thanks, Lisa. This is Chuck. So one thing we could do is we could poll on alternative A, because you're right, A and C are pretty similar except for the footnote. We could poll on A versus just deleting the requirement entirely. Is that an option, or should we do A, C, and delete? Thoughts? If we can get a little direction from people on the call, that'll help us maybe make a better poll question. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Chuck. Mark Anderson. I feel like I think I like your suggestion to table this until we get to the accuracy discussion. I think you made a good point about that, and I feel like if we were to try and tackle this question now as part of the purpose, we would just end up revisiting it when we get to the accuracy conversation anyway. It feels like it might be more efficient use of time to table this until we get to the accuracy conversation. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. Chuck again. Jim, go ahead.
Oh, Jim Galvin for the record, and thanks, Chuck. I guess I'll agree. My bias is towards what Mark said. Let's just set this aside for now. I mean, I'll add as a comment to the discussion here, it's not at all clear to me, you know, how an RDA, an active participant in anything to do with accuracy, you know, is an evaluation of your content. It might be a part of the collection process where you're going to check the data, but it's not at all clear to me how an RDS overall is an active participant in accuracy. That's something you do outside of it all. So maybe the best thing to do is to defer the conversation so that we can cover it later for now. Alternatively, I would also support doing a poll on deleting this purpose altogether, but I suspect that it's a bit of a contentious issue and we're probably best deferring it for now. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Chuck again. Mike Hammer, accuracy is important because it's part of our charter, if nothing else. I think a lot of people have made points even in recent weeks, too, that it is important for other reasons. But it certainly is the fifth asked in the fifth question in our charter. So it's important because it's part of our charter. I think it's probably important for other reasons, too, but we'll get to that later. So notice, Jim, that Vicki doesn't understand accuracy being outside of the RDS. Maybe you can jump back in, Jim, and clarify a little bit what your thinking is there.
So just quickly, Russ, not Russ, I'm sorry, Chuck. what I mean is that it's something that you have to do to the data. The RDS itself doesn't do anything with respect to accuracy. I mean, I appreciate that you need access in order to check the data, or you need to check it on the way in from collection, but why would the RDS itself participate directly in accuracy? So it's not clear to me why the RDS is an active facilitator, an active participant in the accuracy issue. Having said that, I absolutely agree that we have to answer the question of accuracy, and we do want to define some policy with respect to it and some active engagement somewhere that responds to the accuracy requirements that the ICANN community is imposing on itself with respect to registration data. But I'm drawing kind of a fairly fine distinction here in the RDS being an active participant in facilitating accuracy. I don't know if that helps or not, but maybe if we defer the conversation, we can spend more time going over that point if it's more helpful or still confusing. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Chuck again. Let's go to Rod.
Thanks, Chuck. Rod Rasmussen here. I think deferring this is fine. I just want to put a stakeholder or stake in the ground here. I don't need to put a stakeholder in the ground. That's
Which one?
Yeah.
You don't need to answer that.
I think there are some important things that can be done with an RDS approach to tackle accuracy, not necessarily the way people are thinking about it from the perspective of having people, identify and be, up to date necessarily from this kind of purpose of being able to figure out where any particular individual associated with a domain name is. Rather, accuracy when it comes to, if I'm managing a large portfolio of domain names, I would like to make it really easy to do that. And there's a lot of that covered in the EWG report. So I don't want to throw the accuracy point out, but I think it's better to talk about it when we get that context there so we can see what we're talking about from that perspective in particular. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. Chuck again. Alex, your turn. And by the way, I appreciate your comments earlier in the chat, but go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Chuck. It's Alex Deacon. So to Jim's point, I think, RDS may not be an active participant in ensuring accuracy, but it may actually improve accuracy. If you remember, there's been discussions in the past, and this may have been in my involvement with the PPSAI work, but, you know, people have asserted that, you know, the fact that there is so much inaccurate data in the current WHOIS system is because of the fact that personal information is, in fact, published and made available worldwide kind of indiscriminately. And that results in people putting in fake or inaccurate information so they can protect their privacy. So I suppose it could follow that in a world of a new RDS system where privacy is protected and information is not disseminated indiscriminately, to use a word from earlier, that it could actually result in more accurate data because people are not afraid of having their privacy affected, or they're not worried about getting unsolicited email and spam and the like. So I think really RDS is not an active participant in accuracy, but you know, you could argue that RDS indirectly will improve accuracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Chuck again. Greg Shatton, your turn. And I hope all of you are watching the chat. There's lots of good stuff in the chat.
All of you are watching the chat.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. I'm just riding gain onto my microphone, so to speak, so I don't echo when you talk. I think one important thing is to see here, if I'm reading the question correctly or the alternatives correctly, we're talking about a purpose of RDS policy, which is slightly different than the purpose of the RDS itself. And it's, you know, a database can just as easily contain inaccurate data as accurate data. So I agree that the database itself has no way, maybe there are other, you know, things that can be attached to it, to be very layman-like in my terms, because I am a layman, attached to it to deal with accuracy and various protocols that can deal with accuracy, but the database itself doesn't, you know, distinguish between, you know, accurate and inaccurate data. It's garbage in, garbage out. But RDS policy, the policy that we're here to establish, you know, does deal very much with accuracy, and not just because it's in our charter, and it's in our charter for a reason. And the fact of the matter is that I don't understand those who are in praise of inaccurate data, and I'm sure that there isn't really that position. But in any case, I think it's clearly, you know, a purpose of this to contain good data. Good data should be accurate data, I think. I mean, we can punt on this if we want, but we're only going to see it later, so I'm not sure why this isn't the time to deal with this. We're going to be iterating anyway, so punting on an iteration just leaves us with two kicks or whatever the next time around. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. And I can tell you went on mute really fast since I'm not echoing. One of the people, the first comment in this one, notice the commenter. I won't mention her name, but pointed out, why are we talking about RDS? The purpose of RDS policy. I thought that's a good question. I'm not sure why the word policy got in there or if it's significant, but that is an interesting point. So I'm hearing quite a few people who are suggesting table this until we get to accuracy. That's probably a safer thing to do than just deleting it, although we could still come back to it even if we deleted it, technically. So should we, you know, just table it? Somebody suggested that we should poll that and see. Please understand that we're not minimizing accuracy if we do that. We're going to get to accuracy. Accuracy is part of our charter, okay? So don't misread whatever we decide to do on this as not thinking accuracy is important. Lisa, go ahead and jump in.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. I need some clarity on what tabling it would mean at this point. Would we choose alternative A and live with that? Would we leave the text as is? Would we delete it for now? And an expedient way forward might be to do a show of hands on who wants to actually delete it at this stage.
Okay. So let's do a raise, not a raise of, let's not use a raise of hands. Let's do a green check mark. If you agree that we should delete this requirement for now. And you can put a red X like Vicki did if you don't think we should delete. Definitely don't think we should delete it now. So it's mixed. Okay. So we're back pretty much to where we were. There's a big mix of results. I think doing a poll isn't going to help us. Based on the results in Adobe, just going out with a poll probably isn't going to change that. We're still going to have a mix of results. Let me throw out a suggestion to try to bring closure on this for now. We're not going to close it indefinitely. What if we went with A, alternative A for now, noting that there's clearly not rough consensus on this, but that we revisit it after we discuss accuracy as part of question number 5. Is that a reasonable approach? And I'm totally open to other suggestions for how we proceed on this. So if you want to raise your hand and suggest something totally different, you're very welcome to do so. We're obviously not going to close this one today, probably not in the next few meetings. But what does is that an option? I picked A because I think it's helpful to have the footnote there to remind people that we're going to focus on accuracy later. So anybody, okay, if you would clear your X's and green checks now so that I can ask another question and see people's response. Okay, got most of them. Justin and was it Vicki? If you could, okay, Vicki got hers. Okay, thanks, Vicki. And Justin, thank you. All right, so is anybody, if you're opposed, I want you to raise your hand this time. If you're opposed to just recording alternative A in our document that we're capturing all this with a clear notation that it is, there is divergence on this one, okay, not consensus, but that we will revisit it after we've started dealing with accuracy. Question number 5 in our charter. Anybody opposed to that, just raise your hand, please. And I'm having you raise your hand because I'm going to call on you to speak. Warning. Okay? Oh, there's a hand. Good, good. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
Chuck, Mark Anderson, for the record. I guess I'm confused why we would put a purpose that we don't have clear agreement on as the placeholder. Why don't we just put an actual placeholder and say, the role of accuracy in the RDS purpose will be, revisited when we discuss, accuracy per question 5. I mean, I think part of the reason why you're having trouble getting consensus here is you're including options people aren't completely comfortable with. If we're going to do a placeholder, let's do an actual placeholder. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Chuck again. The reason I did that was because we had such a mix of results in terms of tabling it. So, and in essence, what you're saying is the same thing as tabling it. I'm comfortable either way. I mean, we can put is tabling it different than putting a placeholder in there? I don't know. I don't see any difference. But if that's helpful, I'm fine with that. I don't think we want to lose this one. Maybe I didn't word it clearly. Is there anybody opposed? Raise your hand if you're opposed to doing what Mark suggested and just putting a placeholder in for this one. That, in essence, I think what we were doing by putting alternative A there and revisiting it later. But what is that better, instead of saying tabling it, to say putting a placeholder in there for it? Anybody opposed to that? That was kind of what the footnote said, but nobody's opposed to that? Okay, let's go that route. That's fine. Okay. I think then that brings us to the next agenda item, which is the agenda item number 3. So if we could bring up the subset of the work plan that we're going to talk about today. While that's happening, let me remind everybody that last week in our meeting, the leadership team suggested that we try and set some target dates in our work plan for starting to work on a first initial report. So we as a leadership team made a start at that this week. And so what you're going to see is what we did so far. And hang on a second, you'll get a chance to be able to adjust your screen in a minute. Let them get it up. So what you're going to see is what we as a leadership team have done to the work plan. You're just going to see part of our overall work plan, okay? And I need to reduce my size a little bit here. There we go. Okay. So if you look at this right here, and by the way, this is still a work in progress. We didn't have enough time. We met yesterday, and we came up with a few dates, potential target dates, but there's still some more work that staff's going to do this week in following up on this. But here's where we're at right now. We've been on step 12A for many weeks now, and you can see that we actually started step 12A on the 25th of October last year. On users and purposes, we started that on the 13th of December. On privacy and data protection, we started that on the 14th of February. We've been spending a lot of time on that since then. We haven't specifically gotten to data elements yet, but we're hoping to start that next week, okay? And again, for those that are new, everything we're doing is being done in a iterative fashion, in the sense that we're going to be going back and forth, and there are lots of interdependencies. So don't assume that because we start working on data elements that we're done with uses and purposes or privacy. By necessity, we're going to have to go back and forth. As we make progress, we'll find out there are other things that need to be fixed and so forth. For step 12B, which is moving from thin data into thick data, okay, we tentatively suggesting, we the leadership team, starting that, getting to thick data by the 2nd of May, which is about a month from now, okay? And we may or may not achieve that, but we're trying to get things moving and making more progress. And then if you scroll down on that to step 13A, 13A is starting the preparation of the first initial report. And the goal we kind of put in front of you last week in the meeting was the 28th of October, or in other words, the Abu Dhabi meeting in the fall. So trying to be ready to start preparing that report, understanding that as we go, we're kind of preparing the first initial report in a sense, although not formally. So that's where we're at so far in terms of revising the work plan. And we have there are lots of tentative target dates to fill in between those. But if you have any questions, concerns, comments on what we're doing there, I'll open it up for those right now. And while you're thinking about that, if you go down to the last page here, you'll see a very skimpy outline of all of our steps in the work plan if you want to look, see where these things fit in and so forth and where we're going. Although there's less detail in the last few steps than there will be later. So any questions or comments on this? Any objections to trying to set these targets to work towards and motivate us to steadily make progress? Okay. That takes care. If there are no questions or comments on that, let's go to agenda item 4. Let me ask Andrew and Rod a question. I'm sure you're okay with posting the Annex D of the EWG final report. That's just a one pager. But are you guys, are both of you guys okay with posting the document that staff prepared where she integrated Andrew's approach to looking at purposes of data elements with Rod's suggestion that we integrate some stuff from the EWG report on purpose of data elements? Is it okay to post that document? Any objection to that? Okay, thanks, Andrew. I see that. Rod, are you okay if we post that integrated document as well? I know you guys haven't had time to talk about that together. Is the only reason why I'm asking that. And Rod's typing. So, it's there. Yeah, I didn't scroll down to look, Rod. It's there. It's there. Okay. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much, both of you. All right. So let's bring up the approach document integrated with the go ahead and bring that up, Lisa. Whatever you're bringing up is fine. Okay, now, several weeks ago, Andrew posted an approach for proceeding with purposes for data elements, and he suggested let me be quiet and let Andrew share what his intent was and basically a brief overview of what he suggested. and all of you have the ability to scroll down, realizing that some of what's been put in there is from the EWG report and was not in Andrew's message. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, thanks. I had in mind, you know, the EWG report when we were in Copenhagen, and we listened to privacy commissioners, and I thought, you know, okay, well, we talked a bit about the Finn who is stuff, and I was a little concerned that maybe people hadn't seen the way the EWG thing expressed this. So I thought that this was a sort of way station along the way to what's in the EWG report that just sort of showed, okay, well, suppose that we worked through the thin elements from a thin thing, and I used a domain name that may be familiar to some there, and I took that from the registry side, and I just, you know, ran through the elements and sent that in an email, and I hoped that it would give us a kind of worked example of how we might approach these things. I wasn't saying that my answers were right or anything, but it was just a way of sort of talking through the reasoning. And I think it's completely consistent with what's in the EWG report. It just seemed to me to be like a sort of worked out example. And it seemed, you know, kind of painfully detailed, but I thought that it might inspire us to try to get some examples out, because I had the feeling in Copenhagen that some of the discussion was running at a level of abstraction that was maybe hurting us. That, you know, if we saw a concrete worked example, that it might help. So that was really the only idea. I don't know if it's been useful, but that was, you know, the way that I like to work is try something, and if that doesn't work or it's not useful or whatever, then we try something else. But at least we sort of rule out some possibilities.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I appreciate that. And Rod, you commented, I think week before last, about how the EWG work on data elements and purposes tied in very closely to this. Let me let you describe what you were suggesting.
Sorry, my iPhone's, yeah, I was putting up the little alerts in front of me because I'm doing some work. So we spent a lot of time on this and trying to make sure that every data element that we looked at as being one that's either being used or was being proposed to be used in a potential RDS was tied to actual purposes that we've gone through and started with when we did our work as EWG. We really started with purposes, and so they, you know, put together this rather, you know, fairly complex and complete matrix. Obviously, it's not going to be completely exhaustive because there may be other purposes that may be tied to data elements. But we're pretty exhaustive as far as what potential data elements there might be in an RDS system. Trying to address exactly this issue, which is, you know, why if you're going to collect and or provide access to, we'll get rid of disseminate, a data element, why are you doing that, right? What purposes does that tie to? So we could go through that exercise and find any data elements that didn't make sense because there was no real actual purpose defined for them that would track back to the purpose for an RDS in the first place. And that was an iterative process. And sometimes data, you know, looking at what data elements are collected, you know, helped you remember what purposes may have been provided initially for them, you know, in some past time for their collection in the first place. So that provides kind of, I think, the link that you need to get from the higher level purpose statements that we've been working with to the actual kind of nitty gritty detail that you need. And we heard from the data commissioners, you have to actually have specific, you know, really well-constructed purposes for collecting your various bits of data, and you know, dealing with them and all the various methods things you do, whether how long you keep it, who gets to see it, and why, and all those kinds of things. So you need that. You need something to bridge the kind of the higher level stuff to the actual details of whatever you're doing. And so, since we already have that table, nicely put together there, I thought that would be a good way of, cutting to the chase, as it were, instead of, revisiting all that work that's already been done, not only by the EWG, but by other working groups looking at this stuff, is let's take that as and take a look, A, at kind of what's in there as far as purposes go, and B, fleshing those out a bit so that we can address those issues and really have a good, concise, yet descriptive enough statement of purpose as to be able to, either decide it's in or out as far as something that you would do from a policy perspective. So obviously we've got that several steps down the line, but if you put together a good matrix now, that will make the work in the future go a lot faster. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. And so staff is now going to bring up Annex D of the EWG report. It's just a one-pager. So that, I wanted you to see what Rod was referring to there and how it relates to purposes and data elements. And so it is now up there. Again, adjust your screen so that you can read it. And just a glance at it, we're not going to go through it in detail right now. But you can see what he was referring to for each of the data elements, starting with domain name. The report shows that, the domain name is that they have the domain name elements. So Our hope next week, after we talk about authoritative data from our sub-team of three that is going to come back with some suggestions, would be to go that Andrew repeated at the beginning of his message, one by one, and talk about purposes for those. And we'll use the EWG report and their purposes as a starting point. Doesn't mean we have to accept all those as is. We may, and that's okay, because they put a lot of work into that and by a lot of good people. So we will start there and start looking at, and that's why we suggested starting on data elements next week, and looking at purposes for each of those. Theo, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chuck. And this is Theo for the record. So I've only got one question. If we are going to the purpose of the FinWhiz, where is the sanity check, so to speak? I mean, if I'm looking at the purposes right now, it all makes sense and it all looks nice. But where is the check where we go to, like, okay, this is all nice to have, but in a when it comes to the perspective, when it comes to the EU GDPR, to name something, where is the sanity check that tells us, like, okay, this is all nice to have, but this is not a requirement or a purpose that actually has the backing of a legal requirement compared to all the privacy laws out there? I mean, it's really nice to have a creation date in the RDS, but from a privacy point of view, I don't see why anybody needs to know that. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. This is Chuck. Well, we're going to have to try and reach a fairly strong consensus position on whether things are needed or not. So we're going to have to do the sanity check, I think, as we continue our work. Now, keep in mind that we're not done with privacy, and in particular the European regulation that's scheduled to take effect next week, we have some written answers that are pending from the experts that were with us in Copenhagen. And so that's going to be part of our sanity check, not the only part. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. We have to do a sanity check, but we can only do so much at once. We today focused on some three possible purpose statements. Everything we do is going to have to be sanity checked with other areas like privacy and varying privacy legislation around the world. Let's go to Tim.
Hello, all. My concern here is this topic that just got brought up in regards to privacy. The name and the address and contact information is the same information that is logged in the city for when you buy a piece of property or you buy a house, that you're born, etc. So, say that this information, because now I have a website, is covered under privacy laws, confounds me at this point that we're even bringing this into the conversation.
Tim, this is Chuck. Let me clarify, please. Bringing what into the conversation? I didn't quite follow you. The privacy regulations?
How is it in regards to privacy encompassing contact information for a website, both for administrative and the owner and so forth?
Well, if I'm understanding you, first, this is Chuck. First of all, in certain countries in the world, there are regulations that affect the people who live in that region. In some cases, the regulations affect people who are just doing business with people in that area and so forth. So registries and owners, as well as registrants, have to obey laws, as you know. I'm not telling you anything new. They may not be the same laws that you and I have to follow, but as a working group, because GTLDs are global, we have to take those into consideration. So I'm not sure, though, am I understanding your concern and answering your question? Go ahead and respond.
So to that effect in that conversation, have we mapped out the data fields that are in the current WHOIS to applicable privacy laws in what country? Potentially being a little over heavy-handed in locking this down and preventing individuals from able to do the work that they normally do, leveraging data that's in WHOIS.
Well, again, okay. You see, we targeted that for about a month out to start talking about the thick WHOIS data elements, but the plan is to look at all of the data elements, thin and thick, with regard to this, and we're going to evaluate them with regard to varying privacy and data protection laws around the world, with regard to intellectual property needs, with regard to law enforcement needs. So we've got a huge task in front of us. I hope I addressed a little bit of that. I'm not confident that I did, but let me go to Andrew.
Thanks. Just on this question of the sanity check, part of the reason that I laid things out the way I did rather than following the pattern of the EWG was because I was anticipating that very question
And I thought that if we went at each data element independently, like one at a time, then we would, you know, oh, it is related to the specific purpose this way. Because quite clearly, what we heard in the session that we had in Copenhagen was that, you know, you need a specific purpose for each thing that you collect. And then the question is, you know, whether it's allowed anyway. And so the example of the created date, you know, whether that is, you know, whether that's appropriate or not, the point is there is a specific reason, and I listed it in the mail, for why that element is one of the things that you need, because it tells you something for debugging. Now, you might say debugging, you know, the trade-off isn't there, but that's the reason.
Thanks, Andrew, and I see that we're over time, so Stephanie, be brief, please.
Thanks, Doc. I just wanted, Stephanie Perrin for the record, I just wanted to respond to Tim's question. Data protection authorities are well aware of the requirements, at least in Europe, under the consumer protection law to provide a contact point for those conducting electronic commerce within the European community. But that doesn't mean that that data, and this is not what I think that they understand, their if an individual out of their basement put their data up, that would be an acceptable exception under data protection law. It does not mean that data goes up because it's required under consumer protection law. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie, and we're out of time. I apologize for going over, but let me ask one of the staff our action items. I don't think we have any decision points for a poll this week. Am I correct on that? One of you want to respond?
Chuck, this is Lisa Pfeiffer. We do have one decision point on question one from the poll.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, which will reflect in the working document. On the third question from the poll, we have two alternatives to poll on this week. That was splitting the purpose into two separate statements.
But and I thought we decided to hold that off until we define authoritative.
Authoritative, correct. So that's an action for a poll, but not a poll this week. The group of volunteers have an action to come up with a working definition of authoritative, after which we'd poll. So there will be no poll this week, you're correct. There's the action to the group of volunteers to go off and do their work. And then there's a general action, not yet noted in the notes pod, but a general action to all working group members to prepare for our continued discussion on purpose of data elements next week by reviewing this section of the EWG report, the merged matrix, which is now on our meeting materials page, and any other related information. For example, if you look at the working draft that where we've been capturing all our key concept deliberation results, section 3 is the section that covers this charter question and some of the material that we've been discussing.
Thank you, Lisa. Our next meeting is the same time as this, a week from now. We'll look forward to talking with all of you then, and of course participate on the list as things are on there in preparation for that meeting. Is there anything else that we need to cover before I adjourn? Okay, great turnout today, good participation, a little more progress, I think. Thanks to everyone. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next week. Meeting adjourned, and the recording can stop.